Hello and welcome to Down and Dirty with Darcy. I'm your host, Darcy Smith, also known as Career Coach Darcy. We are here to get down and dirty about careers, uncovering salaries, wild stories, backgrounds, and more from guests with some of the most eccentric professions each week. This podcast is presented by Onomy. Welcome back to Down and Dirty with Darcy. This week, we have such a cool guest. Her name is Palmer Kelly. I actually found her on TikTok. She did a TikTok where she talked about her life as a stripper, and then she turned it into a screenwriting. She wants to build a TV show around it. And it was so captivating. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I need to get this girl on my podcast. What's funny is that that was the first thing I saw before I even started this podcast. She was literally the reason I wanted to start this whole podcast about having these odd jobs and different experiences in life. So when I reached out to her and she said yes, I was thrilled. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear everything she talks about. She is absolutely hilarious. And make sure you stick around at the end. We're going to do the career column. And also, if you're listening to this, I am currently in Scotland, so Raymie and I won't be having a little chat afterwards, but next week I will be doing a solo episode all about my recap in Scotland and answering any of your guys' career questions, so make sure to listen next week, and as always, check me out, hang out with me on Instagram at Career Coach Darcy. But let's get into the interview with Palmer Kelly. Here we go.
It's so hard to break out of the world of sex work. Like people will always see me as a sex worker if my stuff continues to blow up. But the fact that I keep getting asked about, you know, writing and film and TV just makes me so happy. Because I'm like, that is my passion. Like, that is what I want to do.
Hi, Palmer.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming on Down and Dirty with Darcy. I'm going to throw it to you and just let you introduce yourself.
I'm Palmer. I am a stripper, a sex worker, a screenwriter, and an actor.
Amazing. I don't even know where to begin, but let's just start with the fact that we're kind of from the same place.
Wait, what?
Okay, so my mom was born and raised in Merritt Island.
And went to Merritt Island. I think you did tell me this.
Yeah, yeah, and you were born and raised in Cocoa Beach, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wasn't born there, but I grew up there. Yeah.
Okay. My whole family is in Cocoa Beach
right now.
So that's where I go to go visit them. And yeah.
How have we not been there at the same time?
I know.
We probably have. Okay,
because I saw the strip club Lido, and that's when I messaged you and was like, do you work at Lido?
Yeah. Yes, bitch.
Because my parents live like literally, like I could walk to Lido from their place. That's
well, you absolutely should.
How close in Cape Canaveral? Yeah.
So, tell them to come visit me.
Right? I will. I'll be like, Dad, I have a friend that you need to throw some money.
Yeah. I love the dads.
I love it. Okay. Start from the beginning, you know, where you're from, whatever, and then how you got into what you're doing now.
From the beginning. Well, I mean, I'm from Florida, but then I was born in New York. So like my dad's whole family is in New York. I grew up going to New York City all the time. I was a musical theater kid. So I always wanted to do the whole Broadway thing. And my family all knew that. Like they were all like, this girl's a performer. And so my dad moved me in with my uncle in New York City right after high school when I was like 18.
Wow.
I shared this apartment with him, like rent controlled apartment in East Village, just was like the scrappiest little place. And I just remember being like so broke. Like I was like, this is so hard. Like how is anyone?
What was the plan? Like you were going to take acting classes and just like try to figure out a way to get on Broadway?
Like, is that, literally I was like, I don't know, I'll figure it out. Like I'm smart, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, oh, I'll look up acting classes. Like I mean my cousin was also in acting in New York. So she was like, oh, you should take like this class and this class. But obviously I'm looking at these classes and they're expensive. Mm-hmm. So I'm like trying to get these jobs and they're sucking up all my life. And I'm like, how does anyone do this? Like this is crazy. And then I went on Craigslist and I saw because I was like, oh, maybe I'll just get some weird side gig that'll make some extra
I've
cash.
I've done Craigslist really side gigs all the time.
And it was like, do you want to make $500 to $1,000 a night like being a model? And I was like, oh, this must be some weird New York City thing where they have like hot girls at nightclubs. And I was like, sure, I can do that. So sketchy. And they're like, show up at this place. Like, send us your photos and show us about this place. And I was like, okay. So I show up at this place. It's just like a group of girls. And it's this like really nice, like fancy bar. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And they're like giving us this info on what we wear and how we talk to guys and like get tips and just like make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And then I guess one of the girls who was working that night comes in and she's like, yeah, I didn't take my dress off for like 2 weeks. And we're like, why are you taking your dress off? Like, what's going on?
Where am I?
But but then I was like, I feel like I could do that. Like, you know, actors do nude scenes all the time. So like, whatever. And so he gives us the location for the first night, like the next night. And I go and there's like a password and everything. I'm like, dude, I'm literally like 20 years old, just like could totally get murdered. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like totally be sold in sex trafficking. But I was like, I don't know, like what's worse than life right now?
You just went like, for it. Oh my
gosh. I was
gosh.
Like, fuck it. So yeah, I went there. And then I remember my first night, I made like probably $700. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I could do this.
I could do this.
And but I remember
the first
it was
night
like,
you didn't take your dress off or did you?
Oh, no, I definitely did. I'm also a Scorpio, so I'm like, you know, whatever. But no, I remember like going there, still not really knowing like if it was a strip club or not, because what it is like these underground clubs in New York, I guess. This one was called SVT, which I guess is like kind of famous. Mm-hmm. And you go in there and it's still just like fancy, like a fancy bar,
like
and
a
girls
bar.
In cocktail
okay.
dresses, and then you're still kind of confused. And then there's this big like velvet curtain, and you open the velvet curtain and you just see like a sea of girls giving lap dances. Just
oh
like in G-strings, like
it's just private lap dances.
Yeah.
It's not like
a big lap dance.
Like
yeah, there's no stage. There's no like
okay.
throwing money.
Okay.
Guys have to be like invited. It's supposed to be at like a higher caliber of things. So like mm-hmm. what they said was like, oh, you give the girlfriend experience rather than just like being a stripper.
Oh,
which
it's
like
classier.
Yeah, which is so dumb because we all just knew we were strippers. Like,
yeah.
We're like, oh, you guys are just idiots and think that we're better than, but we're not. Like, we're doing the same thing.
We're just idiots.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
But that was my first experience in the world of sex work. And then I think from there, it was easier to transition into the world of like being a sugar baby because these guys were very normal. You know, like they were like very like Wall Street, like kind of like hot guys. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to fuck you. And I'm like, okay.
You know,
yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah,
like, and like I would for free, but maybe
no,
other
but
stuff
you
too.
Met me here, so
yeah.
like let's maybe figure out a mutual little thing that we can do. And
yeah.
so that's like how I just like kind of transitioned into that. And then I remember I got fired from that underground club because the owner like made a pass at me, and I was like, well, I don't want to fuck the owner. That seems weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
obviously
I mean,
there's still boundaries.
Agreed.
In the world of sex work. Like I was
yeah.
like, I don't want to like fuck my boss. I don't
yeah.
know. So
that's too far.
Yeah.
yeah,
I know, right? There's some. I have yeah. some levels. But then he fired me, and I never got asked back. And that's when I went on seeking arrangements. And I was like, well, I gotta find a way to make some.
Oh, okay.
Money.
So you did use seeking. I was wondering if you ever
yeah.
used that, and was it good? Did you have bad experiences?
Oh,
and
I
also
had,
for people who don't know, explain what it is.
Oh, okay. So seeking arrangements is what they call a sugar baby website, which is a mutually beneficial relationship, usually with an older guy and a younger girl, where the mutual beneficial thing for the woman usually is to get the money. And for the guy, it's for like the companionship, and usually in that companionship is a physical act,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which isn't, it's not all the time that you're like physical with the guy,
right.
But I'd say if he's not expect, like he's either expecting it or you're already doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or there's some sort of fetish that you're giving.
Fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because isn't there one too where they just pay you to go on a date with them so they can be seen in public with like a hot chick?
Yeah, I tried to do that like
yeah.
over pandemic, but it was very weird. It
mm-hmm.
felt like, well, I guess for me, because I'm like, well, if I'm going to go to dinner with someone, I can also make more money if I just like go back home. You know what I mean?
So you're like, it'd be more fun for me. I just was able to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah. So I'm just
yeah.
like the whole just like going to dinner for like, it just wasn't enough. It was too time consuming for
mm-hmm.
me. Like I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to dinner for $200.
Right.
I don't know. I guess for some girls, that's like a good amount of money. Like, and whatever, it's just dinner.
Yeah.
But I guess like, yeah, I don't know. For me, I'm just like, I'd rather just have like $1,000 and meet
yeah.
someone that wants to hang out with me for like
the whole night.
A significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah. So then you were doing that. And then were you stripping in New York as well?
Yeah. So then I started working at Real. So then I got fired again from the second. Okay. So then I met. I'm a really good employee.
Yeah,
I promise.
Yeah.
No. So then I started getting on seeking arrangements, and I met this guy. I don't know if I should say his name because I want you to look him up because he's the funniest motherfucker you've ever seen in your
okay,
life.
Okay, maybe off the mic. Sorry.
But he, oh God, he's so funny. He's just so ugly. Like he's the ugliest.
Yeah, definitely
person.
Don't say his name now.
No, and he knows it. I've definitely probably
he knows
told him
that he's so ugly.
But, and he probably would never listen to this podcast just because he's so full of himself. He'd be like, I don't need advice. But he ran his own like underground club,
mm-hmm.
and he went by Lap Dance Lou. You can look up Lap Dance Lou.
Okay.
He has articles about him. He's so funny. But he ran this underground club, and he was a sugar daddy. And so he would get girls to go meet him at the club and be like, I'm this big shot guy who like owns this strip club. And then usually the girls would like start working for him. Mm-hmm. But I had worked, this was like 3 years after I worked at my first underground club. And I just thought that that was the only thing that existed of that kind. I'll never find anything like that again. And so I, yeah, just started dating these sugar daddies. And then I met him, and I go into this like, I'm like, oh, there's a private event here. Like, is that okay? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's my private event. It's fine. I go up and I notice all these hot girls in like cocktail dresses talking to these guys. And I was like, oh, my God, is this an underground club?
You're like, this is my scene.
And yeah. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, can I work here? And he was like, absolutely. And I literally went to the back and just like got naked for the house mom. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm so stoked. Like,
wait, what's a house mom?
Oh,
yeah.
It's like the manager of all the girls at the strip club.
Okay. And everyone has one? Typically?
Every strip club usually has one. Like at Lido's in Cocoa Beach, there's only one on the weekends. And mm-hmm. she pretty much just like puts out food and like candy kind of for the girls in the back.
I love
but
that.
But usually, just because
it's... Does she strip too?
She usually either is a retired stripper or just like an older woman.
Mm-hmm. So it does feel like a mom figure kind of.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. Like she, yeah, mm-hmm. like she's a retired dancer. She knows what's up, or she's older.
So you went backstage, you got naked for the
house mom
would be like, yo, I'm good at this.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, cool.
Okay, cool.
And you then he was here. Also my sugar daddy. So at that point I was fucking my boss, unfortunately.
But it always comes full circle.
No, it happens.
Yeah.
And he had like a lot of other sugar babies, and I ended up becoming friends with like really good friends with like two of his other sugar babies. And that's when we started kind of like blogging and posting about all the stuff that we were doing.
Okay.
Because we were like, oh my God, it's so funny. Like, we just thought it was so funny. Half
yeah.
of it. Like,
yeah.
It was a wee bit dramatic just because he was so ugly. But like,
I can't.
Because, and we would always beg him to like have threesomes because we're like, oh, it's so much better when we're all together.
Yeah, and there's so another hot person involved.
Yeah. Like, we were like, oh, we can totally just like try to fuck each other and like not have to fuck him, really. So it's great.
This is so funny.
But,
oh my gosh.
And we would like try to, we'd be planning before, like, what really nice dinner can we get him to like bring us to, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great.
That's amazing.
But then we got fired because we were posting so much about like everything on the internet, and he did not like that.
Oh, so he's gonna love this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever. He can't do anything.
Yeah.
He didn't like that. So then we got fired. So then we started working at real clubs.
And okay.
Then we auditioned at actual clubs, and I learned to pole dance and did the whole shebang, and then worked in New York for however long until I decided that like working in New York was so annoying. It's like so hard to make money in New York. I don't know why. Like, you would think it'd be so easy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Everyone there just sucks. So then I started working in Vegas maybe like 3 or 4 months before the pandemic happened. And then pandemic happened. And
I've heard that was really hard on the sex working community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was rough. I mean, luckily I got unemployment because in New York you're taxed.
Okay.
For some of the, like, if you do a private room and he pays with a credit card, that room is now taxed.
I see.
So, I mean, at the end of it, I maybe sold like 12 rooms within the year. So it was like, said I made like $10,000 or something, which is like nothing.
Yeah.
But like, I still got unemployment because of that, I guess.
Because you were on,
I see. Because I was like on the books.
Yeah.
And like,
makes sense.
Filed those taxes.
When you moved to Vegas, I think I saw on your TikTok that you have to have a stripper card, like a license.
A license to strip. You do.
Why? What is that, and why is that? And you actually are at the DMV to get this?
It's like the sheriff's office.
Okay, I was like, is there like a stripper DMV?
I know. It's just a bunch of strippers. No, it kind of is. When you walk in there, you can tell who's there for a dancer's license.
You're like, where do you work?
No.
Oh, are you getting a real license? Lame.
Well, I guess you have a license to work in, like, because sometimes it'll be bottle service girls or bartenders.
Okay.
Or you have to have like an alcohol awareness training thing. I think, I don't really know the real reason, but I feel like it's because, at least for strippers, there's such a high turnover. Mm-hmm. And in a city in which there's so many strip clubs, and like half the money, I think, comes from like strip clubs.
Yeah.
I feel like the city has to have a way of like profiting or like having revenue off the like dancers. I don't really know.
Do you have to pay for it?
Yeah. So it's like,
how much is it?
$300 or something.
Okay. And it's good for a year or something, or what?
It's like 5 years, I think.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you have, it's really like really strict. Like, you have to get fingerprinted, you have to get background checked.
You have to have, you have to do an alcohol awareness training thing. You have to get your temporary license. And then a month later, you have to go back and get your physical license. And if you don't go back within the month, your temporary license expires and you have to do the whole thing again.
It's like a permit. Like, you have to get your permit first, drive a little bit, take a little clothes off, and then get, get the real one.
Yeah, you just gotta like, they just gotta make sure you're so serious.
And then when you walk
into
a strip club in Vegas and you want to work there, you audition, you hand that, you have to show them that you have the license to strip.
Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. You're like, I can work here. It's fine.
What strip clubs have you worked at in Vegas?
I worked at Spearmint Rhino and I worked at Crazy Horse 3, which I guess is actually the only one that exists now.
Yeah.
It is the third.
Yeah. I love Spearmint Rhino. Yeah. There's one in LA too. I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. I didn't like working at Spearmint Rhino, I think because of that reason, because it was like so corporate-y, you know?
Yeah. It's like really well known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was just so many girls there, like insane amount of girls.
Yeah. You live in LA now.
I live in LA. I don't work in LA.
You don't work in LA?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Safety reasons or?
I've just heard that the money is really bad.
Fly somewhere and go work.
Yeah. I've heard that the money is really bad. I've heard that you have to be an employee of the club.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for people who don't know.
Stripper that was on the podcast.
For people who don't know, usually as a stripper, you're an independent contractor. So you don't have to have a schedule. You can like write off a bunch of your house fees and dance because you can just have an LLC in which you are independent, you know, making money through that.
Right.
So yeah, just like you're working for yourself. You don't have to be there for any amount of hours. Like it's just way more chill and you don't like have to pull your tips. Nothing is taxed. Like really, like you have to file your taxes obviously, but yeah, it's just like an easier.
Yeah, it's your own business.
Yeah, it's just
where do you go? What's your number one, like Vegas or where do you like to go strip at?
I do.
Gives you the most money.
I know. Well, working in Vegas, I'd say I make the most money, but it is hard. Mm-hmm. Not hard. I don't know. It's just, it's every night you go into a club and like you're like full on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like just.
How much money can you make in a night?
I'd say the most that I've made in a night at the club is maybe like close to $3,000. Okay. But that was like I worked like 12 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I think in California, they limit your shift time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's like 4 to 6 hours you can work or something like that.
Oh, that would suck.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're tipping out like, everybody.
Yeah.
You're on a W-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, what? Why are you a stripper then? Yeah. Like, go get a real job. Like, right. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
no, strange. I mean, like, that's great that you're a stripper, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you also are a screenwriter and actress.
Yes.
I'm so fascinated by this. I just want everyone to know like how I found you. I found you through TikTok because the one that you posted about your life and how you're writing a screenplay about your life, the way that you depict it and show it was amazing. You can tell you have that creative eye for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm like, so I tell all my friends about it. I'm like, there's this girl I'm trying to get on my podcast and I think this show is going to be unreal. So I know it's going to happen for you and I can't wait. But can you tell everyone about it?
Yes.
There's a title, right?
Currently, it's called Pleasers.
Okay.
Also, for people that don't know, the shoe that strippers wear is called a pleaser. But also, I love that, like, as a sex worker, you're just meant to please people. Like, you have to be. That's, like, the whole point of your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, a little
play on words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes. So, it's called Pleasers currently. It's about my life as a dancer and a sex worker and an actor. So I went to school for acting actually after I was in New York for like 2 years. I was like, I really want to go to actual school for this. And so I went to school for film and television acting primarily. So like all my classes were on camera. We always read screenplays and talked about character development in movies and TV. So I feel like when I got out of college, I knew a lot more about film and TV than someone who went to school for like theater acting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go on these auditions for just like these shitty, like independent, like NYU films. I mean, there's so many films that come from students that are so good, but there's just so many that are so bad. And I read these scripts and I was like, oh, I feel like I could just do better than this. So like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to start writing my own. So the first pilot that I had written actually was with my group of friends from the strip club because we also were like, just so much of this experience is so funny, but also so much of it is so raw. And we'd feel like there's no real thing that's in between. It's either there's a sex worker on camera that is disheveled and like has a drug addict and has no family, or it's like, silly, funny, whatever. And we're like, okay, there's like such a realness and a rawness to these women that we want to talk about. So we wrote about that, and then the pandemic happened and that just like went nowhere. And then I was like, well, I want to talk about just like my experience from the beginning, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. And so I started just writing and working on that. And I did like a bunch of pitch decks, which was just like, you know, why this needs to happen, like what the plot should be. And I just wrote so many different versions of the screenplay because I was like, I just, it's so hard when, number one, you're like a privileged white girl in this industry, because mm-hmm. I know there's so many people in this industry that come from, that do come from a horrible background, that right. I don't want to just be like, oh, you know, here's like my funny story or whatever. I'm like, I want it to be honest and true. And I want the women that come from maybe not great backgrounds to still relate to my story.
Yeah.
And I want it to be just like funny and honest. Like, I feel like there's not a lot of honest sex worker tales out there. And even the ones that are that like now are supposed to be honest, I'm just mm-hmm. like, oh, they're all just outliers. Like, they're all just this mm-hmm. one story that's like a wow factor for Hollywood to grab at, of course, and yeah. be like, oh, look at these girls. So I really wanted to write a TV show. I was like, we deserve number one, like a protagonist that is a sex worker that we're going to root for, that not only is the story just about sex work, it's about her outside life. And yeah. I think like going through your 20s as a sex worker is such a like confusing and yet like weirdly like heartwarming thing to experience. Mm-hmm. And it makes your outlook on life so, so, so different. So I was like, I know this would be such a cool thing to portray on screen. So and yeah, I just,
when you're pitching and writing this stuff, you're pitching to producers, just because like people don't know the industry that well. Yeah, how does it work?
Originally, like when I shot my first pilot, it was just independently, like we just wanted to do it. Like we were like, we just want to get something out there and we want to have something just to put on like on the internet, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when pandemic happened, obviously there was just nothing happening. So I was like, I'm just gonna work on stuff myself. And once I had just worked on stuff and just done a pitch deck for myself, like I was just making them on Canva and like doing little pictures of me and writing little synopses and like just, I remember just Googling like how to write a pilot. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd read a bunch of them and I just, Googled and did my research and whatever. And then I just sat down literally I was a nobody. Like, I was just like in my sister's backyard, like mm-hmm. going to the strip club every day. And I was like, I'm just going to tell people about this pilot. And it blew up. And so many.
This was the TikTok video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so many people found
this video.
Found me from that. And I it's funny because I feel like I knew I was, it's like, I never knew I was going to do that, but I knew I was going to do something like mm-hmm. significant in the world of film and TV with my platform. But I just geared up my platform on TikTok to just be all about like my life and stripping and either really good nights or really bad nights, or here's how to audition, or here's this or here's that. So I was like, I want people to follow me and know that I'm not just like a girl who one time had an experience at a strip club. Cause
right.
even some people now on TikTok, they'll be like, oh, how long have you been dancing? It sounds like you've been dancing for like 6 months. I'm like, girl, I've been dancing for like 8 years, okay?
8 years,
like, it's
I'm
been
in
a
it.
Long time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want people to know that I have all these experiences, that I'm not just someone who wants to like profit off of one
having
story.
That experience.
And yeah, mm-hmm. like I also want to bring so many other people in. And so I posted this TikTok and it went viral. And I had a few producers reach out to me from the TikTok. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
The power
honestly.
Of social media. That is so cool.
So I ended up meeting with a few producers and then I chose one producer and I worked on a pitch. And it's fun. It was fun because like I even had my followers like help me come up with the name, because like at one point it was supposed to be called Money Game and then they're like, we love pleasers and things like that. So I feel like my followers felt like very involved in the making of this show, which was really cool.
And
it was just so heartwarming because I was like, oh, like it's so, so hard to break out of the world of sex work. Like people will always see me as a sex worker if my stuff continues to blow up. But the fact that I keep getting asked about, you know, writing and film and TV mm-hmm. just makes me so happy. Cause I'm like, that is my passion. Like that is what I want to do.
One of the things that you said was like, I know what I want to do, but it doesn't mean I have to be broke to get there. And you said, I don't want to work at Starbucks and be a barista or try and serve people, you know, drinks when I could go be a stripper and make decent money, good money, and pursue my dreams.
No, for sure.
Good for you. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I met with these producers and we've been pitching. We pitched to like a lot of like people that I can't believe like know my name, which is really amazing. Like a lot of celebrity production companies and just like people who have made really big shows on Netflix, which is really cool. So yeah, but now there's a writer's strike.
Right.
So
right.
Now we're not doing anything.
Bit, yeah.
But I'm sure it takes such a long time to make a show. Cause even if I pitch and they're like, we really, really love this, we still have to be in communication with the studios, and the studios still have to sign on to it. And then they have to negotiate a budget, and then it goes back and forth. And then it's like, even if you sign something, it could not get into production. And then if it gets into production, when is it going to come out? Like, it's insane. There's so much. So
process.
I'm like, oh, we'll see.
Yeah,
like,
you just gotta keep talking about it day after day.
I know. Everyone's probably like, okay, have you been doing this forever? I'm
right.
Like, yes.
You're like, yeah, just pause. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wait, so you actually filmed the pilot and you paid for it yourself. What, I feel like there's a story here. How did you get the money to pay for that yourself?
Half of it came from crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. So me and my friends did an Indiegogo campaign, and we had shot like a little trailer for it. My friend was a wedding videographer.
Okay.
And me and my other friend, who was the co-writer, wrote just like 7 different scenes of like all of us about like different times in our life in like being sugar babies, because we just wanted it to be like very like Sex in the City vibe, like mm-hmm. So we just like wrote all these funny scenes, and then we spent all day like hopping around New York, like driving in Ubers, getting on the subway, and like filming all these scenes. Uh-huh. And then she cut them all together, and we made that like a trailer, even though it was none of the scenes that ended up being in the pilot. But we were just like, I don't
know, something to work with. Yeah.
We were just like, give us money so we can produce something like this, mm-hmm. kind of. And we had like a pretty big following on Instagram at the time. And we were just like posting. I think one of my friends made like a private Snapchat, because this was before OnlyFans was a thing. So yeah. She had like a private Snapchat and was like, oh, if you snap me this, like, and people were like rooting for the show. Like everyone was like, oh my God, these sex workers are making this show. This is so cool. Like people wanted to give money mm-hmm. to this. And then even from being on Indiegogo, people found us. Like this guy that was doing a thesis on like careers or something like that, mm-hmm. found us on Indiegogo and was like, he was a journalist major, and he was like, I want to write about you guys for literally like my senior thesis. And we were like, sick. Yeah.
What do you want to know?
I know. So there was like a lot of people that reached out to us and were like interested. So we funded half of it through that. And then our budget was $10,000. We're like, okay, we don't want to go over $10,000, but one of our old boss at the club like screwed us over and said that we could film at the strip club for free. And then last minute, he was like, no, we can't do that. Like, we can't film here. And we're like, okay, I don't think I don't think you understand. We have like a crew of people, like a team of people. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just us being like silly fun wanting to film something. So then last minute, we had to find somewhere to film, which cost us like $8,000 to rent out a club for 4 days. So in New York City. So we were like, oh, this really sucks. So we ended up having to rent out one of the underground lap dance clubs that we had worked at. And which didn't have a pole, like we had to get our, because I had a stripper pole in my apartment. We had to like bring our pole, like try to put it up, like try to make it look like a strip club. And then we were kind of like, we'll just lean into the fact that this is kind of like a weird strip club. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, whatever. So, but anyway, so we needed like the other $10,000 pretty much. And so me and my friend were like, okay, if we're going to make it anywhere, we're going to make it in Vegas. And weirdly enough, I think we were filming in like 2 or 3 weeks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 weeks probably, because we filmed in November. My birthday is October 27th. And we were filming like beginning of November. And it was my birthday. My friend had gotten us a place in Vegas, and he was like, oh, I'm coming the next day, but you guys have the night, because my birthday was at midnight. And he was like, you guys have the night to do whatever you want, like hang out in the room, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, we have to make $10,000.
You're like, just enough time to make $10,000.
Literally, she was like, I don't know what we're gonna do, but there's no way we're not making $10,000 here. And I was like, yeah, I guess we have to.
Yeah.
So I remember us, we were like getting ready, and we're like, this is the dress that we're gonna make $10,000 in. Like, it was like, we just like, we're so delusional that it happened.
Uh-huh.
So I remember we sit down, and you know, it's not like we like looked like hookers or anything. Like, no, not that hookers look like anything, but
right.
there are Vegas hookers that you know are hookers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now in my mind, I'm like, maybe we did look more like hookers than we thought we did. But
like, looking
whatever.
Back, yeah.
So we're at the bar, and then it's my birthday. It's midnight. We're like, oh my God, happy birthday. And this group of guys behind us are just like, oh, it's your birthday. Like, do you guys want to come hang out with us? And we're like, this is it.
This is
it. It was so weird, because we sat down, and this guy literally goes, he's rich as fuck and he's rich as fuck. You're like, thanks for letting this great. This is awesome. And then I literally sit down next to this guy. He reminded me of Woody Harrelson. Like, he was such a Woody Harrelson type and he was so fucked up. He was like, hey. And I was like, hey. And he was like, what's up? Like, what are we going to do tonight? And I was like, I don't know, but it's going to cost you $10,000. Like, I literally said that. I've never been so ballsy. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, well, if you want to hang out, it's going to be $10,000. And he was like, okay. And I was like, I don't know if I believe you, but sure.
Yeah.
So we're hanging out and he's just like fucked up. We're like making out, whatever, doing whatever. And he's like, I got to get you your money. Like, he's like adamant about getting me this money. I'm like, dude, we haven't even like done anything. Like, it's very like, also it's like 1 a.m. Like, what are we going to do? I don't know. So
you're like, you got till maybe 6 a.m.
Yeah, literally. So then we're like at the ATM. He can only get like $2,000 out. And he's like, I got to get the money. He's talking to his friends, telling his friends, like, I got to give this girl money. And they're all like, don't give this girl $10,000. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, she seems pretty cool. Like, whatever. I don't know. He ends up like having some chips. He gets like casino chips and he can cash out money for that, whatever. So I have like $5,000 from him at this point. Never even went to his room. Like, never even did anything.
Oh my gosh.
He was just like, amazing. He was just like hanging out, doing whatever. And then like every so often he'd be like, okay, you need more money. And I'd be like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I do.
It was, I know. I was like, you're correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so funny. And I think I ended up like going up to his room. He was like pretty fucked up. We like maybe hooked up a little bit, but like nothing that serious. Yeah. And, but he was like cute. Like, I definitely just like wanted to hook up with him. I don't know. Anyways. He was like fun and cute. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And if you want to give me some money, like, cool. But
so then you were able to make the pilot.
Yeah, no. You and then the it money? Was so crazy because I had only had like the $5,000 and he was Canadian. Cause I was like, why don't you just Venmo me or like, you know, whatever. And yeah. He was like, we don't have that. And I was like, fuck. He literally gave me his phone and like went to his bank account and was like, how do I give you this money? There was like millions of dollars in his bank account.
What?
And
you
I was like,
transferred so much more.
I was like, if you were an American man right now, oh my God, I would have robbed you.
Not really.
Not really.
But like, she's just a great person.
Gone a little bit more than I should have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause that's another. And so then I got the money somehow, or I got like the $5,000 and then he was like, well, where are you staying? And I was like, I don't want to tell this guy where I'm staying. And I was like, well, no. I'm staying at the Cosmo. I don't know. And he was like, okay, I'm going to get you the money in the morning. Get you the rest of the money in the morning. I like gave him my number and I'm like, I'm never going to see this guy again. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I made $5,000. I'm cool with it. And then he texts me in the morning. And, well, because my friend is coming in the morning who like actually had, and I was like, he's gonna be so mad if this guy is like there. I don't know.
Right.
So he texts me in the morning. Literally, my other friend texts me saying he's getting to the airport. This guy's texting me saying he's coming with money. And I was like, this guy isn't coming with any money. Like, I don't know. It's so weird. And he was like, just get in my car really quick. I'm gonna go get us some money. And I'm like, oh my God, gosh. No, this is so sketchy. But I was like, all right, whatever. So I like get in his car. We're like driving to this like random, like, I don't even know where we're going. And I'm like, how are we getting this money? Like, this is so sketchy. I think it was just like another friend or there was some bank there or something like that. I don't even remember.
The cash out?
Yeah, and then he like literally got the cash and drove me back to the Cosmo. I think I shut his door at the exact time my friend was like pulling up in an Uber.
What a stand-up guy. Can I get that? Like, this guy just seems like a good person.
No, I like, know. That's,
like, who does that?
He literally was like, okay, here, I just wanted to make sure that he got the money.
Wow, this sounds like me and my friends when like I buy someone a coffee and they're like, I have to make sure that you get your $5 back. You know,
and
you're like that.
Wow. Instead of like having to like Venmo request them 75 times.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're like, so awkward. I know it's only $5, but like I'm pretty poor. So.
Oh man. Okay. So now I just want to know, like, your life is so interesting. Okay. So now you live in LA. And you fly when you go to work and stuff. And then do you still do seeking arrangement stuff? Do you have just like certain people that you hang out with? Like, what's kind of the lifestyle now?
I actually don't really hang out with anyone who does sex work, really, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. I don't really do I don't do seeing arrangements anymore. I haven't been on that website in forever. It's become a trash hole. I feel like the last time I went on there was when I first moved to LA like 3 years ago, and I was like, oh, maybe I can make like a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. And these guys were literally wanting to hang out with me for like $200, and I was like, that's how much money you think that I'm worth?
Come on, get what you're worth. Yeah, you're like, I'm a negotiator.
Yeah, and I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I'm too jaded for this.
Yeah.
So, I mostly just have like, I really do at this point, and it's funny because I was just posting about this on my TikTok. Like, I used to look at girls that were like going on these trips and like having all these things, and they're like, and I don't do anything with these guys, and I was like, yeah, fucking right, you know, and now I'm at that point where I really am like that because I'm just like not trying to give up anything. And right. I want to, I also, mm-hmm. yeah, I also like, I meet people at the club, which I is the only way that I'll ever meet like guys kind of that do stuff like that, is like I meet them at the club so that I know like what kind of person they are. I usually see them at the club a few times. I know they're spending money on
how they act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know how they act. And like I have just like got like the trip that I was just on, like this guy was like, oh, I canceled this reservation, or I have this reservation, but I have to go to this other thing. Do you want to just like meet for one day and then I have to go somewhere else and you can just have this nice place in Cabo? And I was like, sick. Yeah.
How long because were you I've there been, for?
I was there like for 5 days? No, I was only there for like four, mm-hmm. 4 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3 nights and 4 days. But yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. But it's like, because I've been, I just play the long game now. You know yeah. what I mean? And I want to have stable relationships in my life with like men in yeah. real life. You know what I mean?
So yeah. What's your dating life like?
I know, it's very weird.
Is it tough? Like, do you tell them what you do or have done?
So yeah. Well, I mean, obviously like, it's so funny. I went on this date with this guy once who Googled me, because like my therapist was oh, like, no. you don't have to tell them anything. Because I was like, I feel like guys are getting the wrong impression about me, whatever. And she's like, you don't have to tell them anything. And I was like, all right, cool. And then literally the next day they go on, he's like, so I Googled you. And I was like, oh, that's so creepy.
No. I hate that.
Which is fine. You know, like they deserve, I'm not going to never tell them. Of course. And it's like yeah. such a big part of my life right now. And I have to continue like pitching my show and just like
of course.
Selling.
Yeah.
what I'm doing, so I'm like, I'm totally cool with it. But I think for a while I was dating men in their 40s because mm-hmm. they were a lot more understanding, because they're the type of people that would probably want a sugar baby, you know I what see. I mean? Mm-hmm. So they were like, oh no, I get it, sometimes you just need like and like I get this lifestyle, whatever.
You're
like,
wait, but wait, you're not the type of person I want to date, you're the no, person exactly. I want your money. Yeah.
Exactly.
So now so you then, have to like recalibrate your brain to be like, I want a normal
yeah date. So it was weird, but it's also my weird age. Because I've been in this world of getting on like to go to Cabo and being in nice venues and like going on these trips and always having everything paid for. And so when I date guys now, I'm like, okay, I need to bring down my standards because they're just normal people. Like,
right.
They're not
millionaires.
Yeah, yeah. They're not like sugar daddies trying to like, so it's definitely weird. And that's one of that's, I will always say that's a huge con of sex work is mm-hmm. just like it really does take like a mental toll on you for sure. And right. you have to be really, really strong, and you have to have a really thick skin and know the difference in your life between real life and that life, because
that makes a lot of sense.
Mixing the two can be very yeah. hard. And I think it was fun like in my early 20s and I was just doing whatever. And I think everyone should have fun in their early 20s. So yeah, fuck it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, okay, I'm going to be 30. I kind of want to just live mm-hmm. I don't want to have to be so stressed out about explaining to people what my lifestyle is. So I'm like, don't want to be a sugar baby anymore. Like, I don't want that to be part of my life. And also I think because of pandemic, I didn't do that for mm-hmm. so long. And then when I went back to try to do it, I was like, oh my God, I feel like you can't touch my body. I don't know yeah. you. Like, it was so yeah. weird.
When people meet you like that, you don't know, or if you ever meet people and they're like, oh, what do you do for work? What do you usually say?
I say I'm a screenwriter.
Okay. Yeah.
Not because I'm like embarrassed, obviously, of being anything else, but I just genuinely don't want the questions.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm drilling you right now, but no, obviously I mean, you're here for the questions, but I can imagine that anytime you bring it up, then yeah, it's a million questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I know a girl who's a stripper and she's actually so cool. You know what? She's
actually like, so cool. Yeah. yeah.
And she's like, going to college and stuff. It's such a great way to pay for stuff. I'm like, I know.
This is my life. Get it. Yeah.
It's like, you don't get that with any. It's not like, oh, I'm a nurse. That's such a great way to pay. Like, that's such a cool job. You're just like, yeah, I know. Like,
yeah. I love your voices. That's hilarious. Wait, so now, okay, how do your parents feel about it?
I think my mom's just genuinely okay with it. My sister's also a stripper, so I think that helps.
Uh-huh. Amazing. Who followed in whose footsteps?
Well, I was a stripper before, but I didn't tell anybody because okay. I was like privately living my life in New York, and I'm like a weird secretive Scorpio, so yeah. I just like don't tell anyone anything. So I like didn't tell anybody, and then my sister, like 2 years after I started dancing, was like, you know, I'm waitressing at this strip club or something. I think that's what she said. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And she was like, my friends all say I should dance. And I was like, Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. Like, I think that that would be great. Yeah,
I've never heard about that, but you should.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I think, like, she started doing it. And then I was like, yeah, I mean, I work at, like, this underground club. And I started just like, I don't even remember. Yeah, I don't even, like, remember having the conversation with her. But then when my mom found out that my sister was dancing, because my sister was dancing in Florida, she was like, well, Palmer does it. And she's been doing it longer than me. And my mom was like, what? Yeah. And then so it kind of just like my mom found out. But then I was like, yeah, I mean, I pay for acting classes and I pay. And my sister's the same way, like paying for school, like paying for her car, like traveling, doing whatever. So I think she just kind of was like, okay, well, yeah, well, these girls are just like trying to live their life and like pay for shit. So whatever.
Yeah, good for them. Yeah.
I mean, none of us. I think my mom would definitely get like, if she knew I was in with bad people or knew I was doing something, like, I mean, not that I haven't done really sketchy stuff, but like, if she knew I was like doing drugs or like kind of falling off, like, she'd probably be like, okay, we need to
get your head on your shoulders.
But and, that's with like any, like, it's not just because I was a stripper, you know what I mean? Just a mom in general. I think, yeah.
Yeah, that can like, happen in any environment.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to, I want to have this space to like talk about just different jobs that, you know, I think everyone knows it gets a bad rap. And I just think, everyone's normal and they're trying to like figure out life and do it however they please. And if that means you want to strip for money, it's the same thing as if you want to go write a book for money. I don't know. Right. It's like, just pick your job. And if you're happy, you're happy. And it seems like you're really happy.
Yeah, no, I agree. Thank you. I mean, there's definitely been highs and lows for sure. I mean, and also sometimes I go to the club and I'm like, I just can't deal with making men feel better about themselves today. Like, it's so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Because
making them feel important.
Yeah. Because you're just like, I'm actually more important than you. Like, I actually have things that, especially in Florida, like in small town Cocoa Beach.
Right.
There's just so many guys that are like, you know, I have my like, I don't know, like lawn business. Oh my God, you're so boring.
And
I'm like,
you're so boring.
Like, that's so cool. Yeah. That's so hot.
I actually am an accountant. You're like, I'm an accountant too.
Yeah, no, dead ass. Like, same.
Same.
No. Yeah. And it's hard too, because sometimes I'll be open with people about my life of like at the club, I'll say, you know, I'm a screenwriter, I'm an actor. And they're like, oh, well, you should do this. And like, have you ever thought about filming something? And I'm like, I've never thought about filming something. No. I've never done it before. It just gets so exhausting, like so draining.
Right.
And the idea of doing that however many times a night and you're like, hi, what do you do for work? Like, and you just have to be so interested.
Yeah.
That sometimes that I definitely go through the lows of like, especially when you're alone, I think so like, sex workers deserve so much more love than any other person, because for me, I feel like I give so much love out to these men that I barely know. And then just to go home and be alone, you're just kind of like, God, this sucks. Yeah. And then, but then you kind of feel shitty because you're like, oh, well, of course no one wants to be with me because I'm literally out there like giving it all up to these men.
No, it's not like that. No.
And I know that's just like such a shitty way to think about it, because I've like kind of with someone now who's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I think it's, if you're not giving everything away, then you know, you save things for me. And that's hot. You know, that's hot that like everyone wants to be with you, but like I get to be with you. Kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
This is a choice. And like you're choosing me.
Yeah. And also he is my age. So I think that that helps a lot.
And he's also probably, okay, the way I look at it is like, if someone's dating you and you're getting your free drinks and free trips to Cabo and you get that like from someone else and they don't have to pay for it, they should be like, sweet.
No,
like literally. When I go to the bar and I'm like, Ryan, my boyfriend, Ryan's like, I would love if you can find other people to buy your drinks. Please.
Right?
I'm like, okay, I'll do some flirting. Like, I'll get some free drinks. He's like, yeah, then I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Go.
And then you're like, haha, idiot.
Yeah.
Run off to your boyfriend. They're probably like, fuck. But who cares?
Like, I know.
Yeah. I just feel like definitely this, especially like Gen Z now, this generation is very like, we don't want a 9-to-5. Like, we don't feel like degrading ourselves is taking our clothes off. We feel like degrading ourselves is
sitting behind
being
a desk.
Slave to a job that doesn't pay you enough fucking money. So,
right. Preach. We should end on that. Speaking of, where can people find, follow you, all of the things?
My Instagram is PalmWeezy. My TikTok is Palmer Kelly, PalmAr.
Kelly is
KELLY.
Okay.
I have a Twitter. I don't use it that much. I think my Twitter is Palmer Giovanna. It's my middle name. I have lots of names.
Lots of names.
And then I also have a podcast that I have not been so good at. You're so good at your podcast. I don't
thank
so,
you.
But they're so hard.
They're
podcasts
so
are
hard.
So hard. Yeah. I fall off so many times. But my podcast is called Selling Sex. You should definitely follow it, listen to it. I have like 5 episodes out. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get better at putting them out, but I should do something like this. This is so cool.
You should. Yeah. Yeah. This place, Third Wheel Podcast, they can come anytime.
Hey, yeah. Yeah. I love you guys. Kiss rock.
Yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, follow me, guys, yeah. Especially on
I want to follow
TikTok.
Your journey. I want to follow. And when it comes out on whatever streaming service at the time, I'm going to be like, I know her. She was on my podcast. And
I know. That
she's
be
amazing.
So fun.
Yeah. And thank you so much for coming. I know it's well, I know you are open and there's a lot of people that are probably not as open when it comes to sex work and stripping and things like that. And so I just really thank you so much for being so open with us about it because it's important. I think it's important for people to hear. And I find it very important. So thank you.
Thank you. No, yeah. I'm so glad that you gave me a platform to speak about it on because, yeah, it's a crazy journey. There's lots of highs and lows. We love making money. We love having your own schedule. We love being able to do what we do. But there's definitely cons. And
there's a lot that comes with it.
And I think it sucks because I think a lot of the cons are like what people think of you. Is like a major thing because it's hard to get jobs. It's hard to, you know, date people. It's hard, but it's like, I feel like we're going to phase out of that a lot, which is going to be better. But I will say, don't do it when you're young. Wait till you're 21. Make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Do your research. People can be sketchy.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Really good things to know, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
This will be out soon. So,
yay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Okay, now it's time for our career column.
How can you explain a big career gap on your resume? Okay, big career gaps are normal. It depends on why you were gone for so long. If you chose to do it, then you wanted to travel or you wanted to spend time with family. Just be very upfront and honest about that. And you can be honest in the interview as long as you can control your narrative and really explain why you decided to have that gap. If it comes across as you didn't want this gap and it was because no one wanted to hire you or you were unable to get a job, that might look more negative to an employer rather than you controlling that narrative and saying that you wanted this gap in your resume. Okay, let's see what else we got. My first interview didn't go so well. Should I reach out to the hiring team and try and salvage it? Because honestly, it is my dream job. This is such a great question. And in my opinion, I think what's going to go wrong if you reach out and try and save it? Worst case scenario is they just don't respond or they continue to say no. But if you can, you can email them or call them and let them know exactly what went wrong and why it went wrong. So for example, if you felt like you didn't answer a question properly, you can say to them, hey, I was thinking back on the interview and reflecting, and I noticed that when you asked this question, I actually had this story that I wanted to explain to you or tell you. And that way you're not just coming at it from, hey, I did bad. Can we do it again? You actually have solid evidence and information as to why you're reaching out and how you're going to fix it. How to answer why do you want this job when I actually only want it for the stability while I build my business? I would say you lie. I probably would not tell an employer that you are looking to have this job so you can build your own business and potentially leave as soon as possible because this happens all the time. You're using a stable job to fund your business that you ultimately want to run on your own, and that's amazing. That doesn't mean they need to know that. So I would say you tell them that you're looking for stability and long-term growth and somewhere where you can, you know, find your passion and creativity within a job. That can still all be true. You can still put a lot into the job that's providing you this stable income and you will still do a great job, but they don't need to know that you're secretly trying to build this business on the side. Now, I also want to say you may end up having a boss or a manager that understands the entrepreneurial lifestyle and respects it. For instance, if I was hiring someone and they told me, hey, I'm looking for a job for about a year or two, but honestly, I really want to build out my photography business, I would be so supportive of that. And I'd say, hey, let's help you make as much money as you can working for me because I want to support you in those endeavors. So I think you should know the type of environment you're getting yourself into. And maybe that's also something to think about, the type of people or type of company that you want to work for that values an entrepreneurial lifestyle. I think that's it. for our career column.
Thanks so much, everyone. We will see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to that Onomy podcast. Onomy is a creator-led educational platform that teaches you the things you wished you learned in school so you can thrive in adulthood. Onomy lessons are completely free and they're taught by some of your favorite creators from around the internet. Head to onomy.co to start learning about things like budgeting, investing, taxes, how to thrive in your relationships, how to find your dream job, and so much more. That's onomy.co, O-N-O-M-Y.co. See you there.